Revelation 12, verses 1 to 17. The battle between good and evil. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. Pray that you would teach us the things you'd have us to know through this time. And God, we just ask that you would be glorified in and through what we say and do in this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, even though the seventh trumpet brings us through the great tribulation and then the millennium to the beginning of eternity, a lot of detail wasn't given for this seven-year time period. So beginning with chapter 12, we're going to study it in the seven different characters that will play a special part in the final 3.5 years of the seven-year tribulation period. After that, we have the pouring out of the seven bowls of wrath, and then the final destruction of commercial and religious Babylon. These characters are representatives of persons, both natural and supernatural, physical and spiritual, rulers and nations. The identification and clarification of these characters are totally essential for a proper understanding of this revelation. Verse 1. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his heads. His trail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by her, by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceives the world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accuse him before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time, 3.5 years, from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." So the main part of the interpretation of the entire book of Revelation is around this first character, the woman. So who is this woman? Well, the Roman Church teaches she represents the Virgin Mary. Most of the Protestant interpreters follow the method of Rome and interpret the woman as the Church of all ages. In fact, just about all denominations follow this thought. But to identify this woman biblically, doctrinally, we have to look at the sun, the moon, and the stars. You see, the woman is speaking of the nation of Israel. We see this according to Joseph's dream in Genesis 37 in verses 9 to 10. It says, then he, speaking of Joseph, dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers. He said, look, I have dreamed another dream. This time, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down before me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to you before the earth? So Jacob interpreted the sun, the moon, and the stars to mean himself, Rachel, and Joseph's brothers. And we know they did bow down to Joseph before things were all over. The woman is a sign in heaven. She's a symbol, as we clearly see in Joseph's dream. The woman is interpreted as the nation of Israel. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When Isaiah says unto us, he's speaking of the nation Israel. Isaiah goes on to say, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. What's that mean? Well, as a child, Jesus was born in his humanity. But as a son from eternity, he was given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, we're not talking about the Savior. Isaiah is speaking about the one who is coming as king. We're going to see this happen in the book of Revelation. You see, no matter what anybody says, there's not going to be any peace on this earth until Christ comes back to set up his 1,000-year millennial kingdom. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3 tells us, when the rulers of this world say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. How much are we hearing about a hopeful peace coming in the future, the near future? It just goes to show you we're getting close to Christ coming. Travailing in birth is also associated with Israel. Isaiah 66, verses 7 to 8. See, Israel will go through the great tribulation after Christ was born in Bethlehem. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child, meaning Jesus. So we can clearly identify the woman as the nation Israel. It's a nation of Israel and not the church of all ages. So we now come to another character, the red dragon. The red dragon is Satan, as clearly identified in verse 9. He was originally created Lucifer, son of the morning, Ezekiel 28, verses 12 to 19. Now, he's the epitome of evil and the depth of degradation. Satan is the most dangerous being in all of God's creation. Seven heads speak of the perfection of wisdom. It characterized the creation of Satan, who was originally the covering cherub. It is believed that Satan covered the throne of God. He hovered above the throne of God. And as people came, as the angelic host rather, came and worshiped God, Satan had these pipes built in him to lead worship. And this is where his downfall was, because he started taking that worship to himself. That's where pride entered in. Ezekiel 28:12 speaks of his beginning, full of wisdom, and notice, perfect in beauty. Perfect in beauty. Now we see pictures of Satan having horns, cloven feet, a tail, and a pitchfork. But that description actually came from the god Pan, P-A-N. The Greeks and the Romans worshipped the god Pan. Ten horns speak of the final division of the Roman Empire dominated by Satan. It's going to be his final effort to rule the world, the last 3.5 years. Nebuchadnezzar got a glimpse of his kingdom in one of his dreams. Daniel interpreted it in Daniel chapter 2. The crowns represent kingly authority and rulership. We'll see the heads, horns, and crowns again in Revelation chapters 13 and chapter 17. The heads represent mountains, Revelation 17 verse 9. The horns represent kings, Revelation 17 verse 12. Now, a third of the stars of heaven speak of the incredibly awesome extent of the rebellion in heaven when one third of the angelic host followed Satan. Daniel made reference to this in Daniel chapter 8 verse 10. This is another reference to Satan's fall in Isaiah 14 verses 12 to 15. When Satan and the angels with him rebelled against God. But the casting out described here in verses 7 to 10 is still future. So it's obvious the dragon hates the male child. It was predicted from the beginning that the child would be the downfall of Satan. Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve fell into the sin. Verse 15 says, "And I will put enmity," meaning hatred, "between you and the woman, between Satan's seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Of course, that was speaking of Satan bruising our Lord's heel at the cross, thinking that he was finally destroying Jesus. But Jesus came back and rose from the dead, and he totally crushed Satan's head. That was predicted back in the book of beginnings, Genesis chapter 3. The male child is Jesus. And yet there are some who say the child is the church. You know, this is why Scripture backs up and supports Scripture. Who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron? That's Jesus Christ. Psalm 2:9, "You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel." How do we know that's a reference to Jesus? In Acts chapter 4, the persecuted Christians quoted Psalm 2, identifying the one to rule with a rod of iron as Jesus Christ. So John says, "And her child was caught up to God and his throne." You see, the entire book of Revelation rests on the fact of the ascension. That's why Jesus is the one who has been opening the seals, which has brought everything to pass that has happened thus far. Notice verse 6. It says, "During the last half of the great tribulation period, this remnant of Israel will be protected by God." Now, even though Scripture doesn't clearly say where they will flee and where God's going to protect them, The common belief is he'll flee to the city of Petra there in Jordan for the last 3.5 years. I've been there in Petra, and it can house quite a few Jews. I mean, it could be a perfect place. It's about the only place that you really see in the Middle East that God can seal them in and protect them. Now, we know Satan has access to heaven. We read in the book of Job, chapters 1 and 2. Satan came with the sons of God to appear before God in heaven. Also, you can look up Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. You see Satan again having access and going to heaven. In fact, Satan talks to God. In Luke 22, verse 31, Satan was able to come into God's presence and ask if he could test Peter, and God allowed it. Remember, Jesus told Peter, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you." You see, Satan can't do anything unless God first approves of it. And if God allows it, then God has a specific plan and purpose in whatever it is. There's going to be this incredible struggle, a terrible war. But Michael, the archangel, and his angels will prevail. That's the great news. Satan and his angels will be thrown out of heaven. And this is what we're studying in Revelation chapter 12 during the tribulation. Jesus actually made reference to this in Luke 10, verse 18, when he said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Notice how Satan is identified. Number one, he's called that serpent of old. In John 8, verse 44, Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning. Secondly, he's called devil. It's a Greek name meaning slander or accuser. Isn't it amazing? We read here that Satan is accusing us night and day before the throne of God. Can you believe that? 24/7, he's accusing us before God. Third, he's called Satan. Satan means adversary. Finally, he's called he who deceives the whole world. It will be the first great demonstration of power to be taken against evil after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Satan being cast out of heaven. This is the beginning that will lead to our Lord taking over the reins of the government here on this earth and setting up and reigning for 1,000 years in his kingdom. Four things will come to pass when Christ comes. First, salvation. Well, wait a minute, Rick. Aren't we saved already? Yes, we are, those of us who are born again believers. But it won't be completed, our salvation, until we are in Christ's presence at the rapture of the church and we receive our glorified bodies. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Secondly, strength. The nations of this world have abused their power. But when Christ returns, he's going to take the power and control this earth. Third, and the kingdom of our God. It will be established on this earth in peace and righteousness. Fourth, and the power of his Christ has come. This shows the Lord hasn't yet taken over the governmental authority of this world. So these judgments are in preparation for Christ's return to earth at his second coming. So what is the end goal? Why all this have to go on? Jesus is continuing to give men warning, an opportunity to turn to him, be saved, and live for all eternity in heaven. You see, our victory as Christians comes through three ways. Number one, the blood of the Lamb. Number two, the word of their testimony. And number three, that we did not love our lives to the death. Two wings of a great eagle. They remind us of God's grace and his past deliverance of Israel from Egypt. Exodus 19, verse 4. The rest of her offspring could refer to the remnant of God's witness during this time. Who are his witnesses? The 144,000 who have been sealed. Why would God need to seal 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each tribe, to proclaim the gospel throughout the world if the church was still here? You know, it amazes me that people will teach that the church is going through the tribulation period. I mean, we accepted that free gift that Christ did on the cross for us. God now looks at us and sees the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. Why would God have us go in through the tribulation period? There's no purification that needs to take place in the church. Christ died for our sins. It's a done deal. We've been declared righteous through the blood of Christ. It's amazing to me where people can think that the church will be in this terrible, horrific time of a God-rejecting world. It's amazing to me. All anti-Semitism is Satan-inspired. It will finally end in Satan making one last effort to destroy the nation of Israel. From Pharaoh in Egypt, to Haman's gallows, to Herod's edict to kill the male babies 2 years and younger, through Hitler's death camps, to the Great Tribulation, Satan has led the attack against the Jewish people because of the male child, Jesus Christ. But you know, we can close with some exciting news. We'll have read the end of the book. God wins. You know what that means? Those of us who are born again believers, we are on the winning side. Next time, chapter 13, the first beast, world dictator, and the second beast, the religious leader, the two beasts of Revelation 13. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things you continue to teach us and to reveal to us. Father, I pray for those who are listening that this would strengthen their faith in you, Lord God, knowing that you wrote the end of the book. You already know how it's going to turn out, so we can have comfort in knowing that our lives are secure in you, Lord. Go before us. Bless the rest of this day, Father, for it's in Jesus' name.